It's easy for us to say it. That is the hardest thing to do. Like, oh, wow, I just lost this sale. Let me see what I can learn.
Right.
Exactly. I get it.
So pissed off.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like the people listening right now are like, yeah, right. But that is where you make the improvement.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the podcast on how to make more sales, make more money, have more fun, and go on a big vacation.
Oh, yeah.
And to my right, oh, I'm Jeffrey Gittenry, wrote the Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And this morning, we are going to talk about something extremely important. However, let's tee up our guest. We have this morning the great Martin Rooney on our show, and you may not know Martin, but I do. And he is one of the top 10 physical trainers in the world. I mean, he coached the NFL Combine, those guys that beat the crap out of each other in the ring.
UFC? UFC?
Yeah. UFC. He coached a lot of those guys to a belt, a title belt. He holds the deadlift weightlifting championship in New Jersey. And wow. Then he moved to North Carolina and did it in North Carolina just for the hell of it.
He is this big guy.
He's like a tree.
He's built, right?
Right, he's like a tree. If you push him, he doesn't move.
And he could be super intimidating, but then you talk to him and he smiles and he's so endearing and so nice. And you're like, wow, he's a good guy.
No, he has four daughters.
He's a good guy. I know you talk about that on the episode.
You have that connection with him,
yeah,
Jeffrey.
Yeah, you do.
No, totally.
The daughter's connection.
For life. Now, what if he has another daughter, or you do? Will you still feel that same connection?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's unequal?
The number doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But their age, you know, they're in the same
age bracket.
It's fun. And he's a nice person. There's two nice people from New Jersey. Three.
Out of four of your daughters, only one of them is in the same age bracket.
Yeah, actually, she straddles two. But but the bottom line is he moved here from New Jersey to become a nice person.
Yes, and he's also the host of the Into the Roar podcast.
Yeah. Which we've appeared on. Well, I have.
Hey, before we get into his interview, which is amazing, I want to talk about two things.
Okay.
One, we are going to Paris on Friday, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
And if you know people in Paris out there who want to meet up, we will be free for about 8 days. And
my cell phone
out.
Is... there's no way.
Beep.
Not even if it would help the program. But
email
Jeffrey at Gittenry. Yeah, or sell or die at Gittenry.com or Jeffrey at Gittenry.com.
Or Janet salesinanyminute.com.
Right.
Whatever. Just find us. We're all over social media. If you know, we love meeting French people.
Yep.
We really do.
Yep.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you're going
to
be
expect them to buy our dinner.
No.
Oh.
You're going to be we're going to be in Des Moines, Iowa on May 17th and 18th, and you're going to be giving a sales seminar to sales leaders on the 17th and sales people on the 18th. And if you're a sales leader, you can attend both. You can bring your whole team. And Jeffrey, you have made this event beyond economical. I mean, when I compare it to the other events out there, like you're one-tenth of the price.
I want people to
come in and fly in from wherever and meet you. And I think that's really cool.
It'll be cheaper to fly in and see me in Des Moines than it would be to go to a normal concert in seminar in your city.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll get way more value.
Oh, yeah. Well, you get me.
Right.
And it is a combination of a public seminar and a hootenanny.
It's going to be really fun. And you have a VIP networking event where people can hang out more.
Go to Gittimer.com.
cgittimer.com/Des Moines. cgittimer.com/Des Moines.
Got it.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
No, you start.
Okay. So I want to talk about this concept that we're human. Everyone thinks
Wait,
that...
Wait, I don't get that.
Okay, let me explain. Let me explain where I'm going with this. Okay. So someone said to me the other day, Jen, I want to tell you about my sorrows and my issues, but you're always happy. So it's really hard for me to tell you because you're always happy. And it's like, well, I have problems too. I just figure out how to react to them and recover from them and respond to them. sometimes more quickly than other people because I study attitude and I study mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you ever been down, Jeffrey? I mean, you're sure. You're human.
Yeah. I've had a couple bad days in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm.
And maybe not full days, but difficult hours, difficult moments.
You know, there's things that really set you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bottom line there is if you're a student, a consistent student of attitude, then you understand the word resilience and you understand how to put it into the wherewithal of your thinking, number one, and then in the context of your life. And you have to say, how bad is this? What can I do? What do I do next? And I'm not saying to fake your way out of it. I'm not, you know, don't do anything that's not normal for you. But there's no reason for you to slam a door or start to moan or, you know, cry a lot. It doesn't work. It only tends to exacerbate the situation to a point where it'll take you longer to get out of it because you have sort of a self-pity party or whatever it is. You know, like, woe is me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck. And Doug looks like he wants to say something.
Well, I'm just wondering if either of you have a go-to first thing that you do when you get bad news or something bad happens that would affect your attitude.
I would tell you that for me personally, I've had it happen so often to me where somebody either tells me no or the plane is late or I'm sick for the week, I got the flu or something. It's happened so often to me, I'm resilient about it. I know that if I just change the way I think about it and I take a deep breath or I take a hot shower, there's not one thing you can do, but you start mentally by thinking, this is bullshit, I got to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you recognize it and admit it, that's the first step towards taking the positive path.
I find it's all about changing my thought.
Yeah.
So if I'm going down the wrong path with my thought, I have to break it. I have to stop it. I either have to start writing down what I'm thinking about and take the good and the bad, or go outside and get some fresh air.
Yeah,
because
take a walk.
That changes everything. Subconsciously, I didn't realize I did this, but I. Our dogs are in the office, and so I go and pet them.
Yeah, but
it sounds cheesy, but it's very calming.
Right. There's no one thing, but the first thing you have to do is outthink your issue.
Mm-hmm.
Be smarter than what's happening to you, because what's happening to you is temporary.
And sometimes breaking that pattern is so hard. When you're in it, you don't even realize you're in it. Unless you're consistently studying attitude. And that's what that's what studying it has done for me. You know, I've read the Yes Attitude book 10 times minimum in the past year. I've read your new book that's coming out by Napoleon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That you, would you say co-authored? I don't know how to put that.
Well, Napoleon Hill wrote the stuff that's the body of the book. I just annotated it and put beginnings of each chapter, wrote notes in each chapter about how to think about it. And then in the end, I said, here's how you put it into your life.
Just makes it sound like you didn't do that much.
Well,
anyway, I've read that
book. It's a labor.
I've read that book that isn't out yet about 10 times in the past literally 3 months. And so having those go-to lessons in my head at the top of mind have helped me change my thought pattern if something bad happens or, you know, we lose a deal or, and which is easy to recover from if you know how.
And let me throw something else to your thought, Doug. There are degrees of negative things that hit you. So if you lose a sale, that's one thing. Or you miss an appointment or someone misses an appointment, that's another. Someone doesn't call you back, that's another thing. But if you're sick, or if you're physically in pain.
Or if you screw up and you feel like it's affected your kids in some way and you've disappointed them.
Well, yeah. Let me put it in the pecking order.
Yep.
Physical pain and illness will take a much harder toll on your attitude because you feel mortal. You like the guess we're coming up with, Martin Rooney, and this is probably a pretty good segue to him. He just had a major, major crippling injury, and it's taken him months to recover. Now, here's a guy who wakes up in the morning, exercises, runs, travels around the world.
He's defined by his body, and his body broke.
Totally.
Yep.
Now, how does that affect your attitude?
We're going to find out.
Exactly. And What you're going to find out in the upcoming lesson is a strategy for you to be able to take whatever happens to you and not just deal with it, but win with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's get to it.
Let me just say this. Martin Rooney, without a personal introduction, you have to buy the book Rooney's Rules. You have to buy his book, The Five Things. Just go to trainingforwarriors.com and buy Martin's writings because you will understand his thinking. This guy is not just a trainer. He's a thinker. And he's able to communicate a value message and an inspirational message to people all over the world in many different languages. He's not speaking, but he has an interpreter. And he's winning. He's winning globally in spite of his crippling, literally crippling injury. So please help me welcome the great Martin Rooney. How many hours have you invested in your arms?
Oh, my gosh. I think that what I always like to say is when I started training, I didn't really have a coach. You know, what we would do is we would essentially go down into the basement with my friends. That was my exposure to training. Mm-hmm. And we would go down into the basement with a couple of, you know, Flex magazines touting the latest Arnold Schwarzenegger workout. And we would just get it. I would take the biggest mirror my family had. We would take it off the wall, bring it down there, and we would just do bicep curls in front of that mirror.
Cool.
And so what I would say is now, though, I don't invest very much time in them at all because, and this is an important concept, because I no longer train for vanity. Now I train for sanity. So now my workout is, I'm clearing my mind. It gets me that escape. And I'm really training for health and longevity versus, you know, how big can I make my arms anymore? But yet it's still a byproduct that you still get.
So I want to welcome everybody. We're in a sell or die interview with the great Martin Rooney. Martin and I have a lot in common, not our arms, not even our legs, but our daughters.
Yeah.
So we each have four daughters. His are younger than mine by a couple of decades because I have four granddaughters in the middle. So I'm with eight girls. He's with four girls, but eventually he'll have more girls in the family. And fatherhood plays a very important role in our lives, and just in terms of how we deal with our children and what sacrifices we make for our children in our daily lives. Martin is just, if you go to trainingforwarriors.com, you'll find some blog posts that he put up about his recommitment to his family. And commitment is a huge part of becoming successful. And he committed to his family the same way he commits to his career. And not enough people do that, in my opinion. I was really emotionally touched by your recommitment to your family, remarriage and having the daughters there and having it a surprise and just the whole nine yards of it. It was just absolutely amazing to me. I'm sure your kids were touched in a way that they couldn't believe.
Well, absolutely, where it was a surprise for them. So again, Jeffrey was saying, I have four daughters and I hatched this little idea that since we were going to be in the Las Vegas area, why don't we do our vows again, but have them be part of it?
Mm-hmm.
And by going through that process, the first thing that I think everybody listening should get from that is, hey, as Jeffrey and I talked today, if you've got this cool idea, don't just go to sleep and then let it disappear. Carry it out. And we did. And I'll tell you what, for the couple $100 spent, the value and the traction and the bond that was formed between—
Did they play Elvis music?
Actually, they played the Rocky theme song.
Okay, cool.
Vegas
always has these theatrical weddings, you know? You can get married in 9 minutes there.
Yeah, well, it probably took us about 30, and it was this amazing event. But as I was reflecting on it, exactly what you said— it was a recommitment, and the lesson that I got, so I want everybody to understand, it was never that I didn't stay committed to my family or mm-hmm. something had happened and now we were doing this again. What it was is at this time of the year, which right now we're at the new year starting off, I think the big mistake people make is they start with these new resolutions. They set these new goals for themselves. Mm-hmm. They now are dreaming even bigger, but they still didn't follow through on the stuff.
Last year, right.
The big ones.
A new goal, but they still have 30 extra pounds on them.
Yeah. Or now, hey, here's a new commitment that I'm going to add on to the one that I never went after. And so what I did is, hey, what are the areas that I've committed to before that I didn't come through as strong as I could? Maybe if I go back to those and hit those first before I add new ones on top of the stuff I didn't do, maybe that'd be the better way to go.
So let me go back for just a little bit. Martin is a world-class athlete, trainer, black belt, brown belt. he has Louis Vuitton belts, and he also has athletic belts. He holds several records for weightlifting and deadlifting. He owns a company called Training for Warriors that is global. And he's known in the world as one of the top 10 trainers for athleticism and for physical health on the planet. So I would, and we're friends, which helps an awful lot, just in terms of we both grew up in Jersey. We have common friends in Jersey, and now we both civilizedly live in North Carolina in Charlotte, where it is civilized, where up yours is not a greeting.
Yeah, we were just discussing the difference between the fan base down here and his beloved Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And he said, though, as horrible as sometimes they may act, at least they're serious about
right.
it.
Right. Oh, they mean it. Yeah. Your fans are horrible. Right. What's your point?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going after.
But what I want to talk about today is something that most people don't consider. This is an unknown aspect of the selling process and one that is never written about. What I want to talk about today is what happens after you lose. What happens after something goes wrong? What is your resilience factor to react, respond, and recover from what happens to you? And I think the easiest way to do that is I want you all to think, if you're in sales, I want you to think about your life. What has happened to you in your life that gave you the opportunity for you to be resilient? Whether it was the birth of a child or a divorce or the death of a parent or what, how do you react, respond, and recover to what happens to you? And Martin, unknown to most people over the course of the last year or so, was injured. And his injury was so significant that you don't want to see it. But he basically needed a brand new knee. Tell me about what happened.
So this is actually, I guess, the first time that I'm even talking publicly about the injury. And for everyone listening, we've already heard about that kind of recovery or coming back and resilience.
Well, first of all, it's feeling mortal.
Yeah. But I mean, just even whether it be sales, I think it is that there are going to be challenges and things that happen to everybody, whether it's you just missed the big meeting or you did have an injury or something else, that there are these universal principles that I learned by going through my injury of what will have value for you as the listener today. And so my story was I was coaching track and field in our town, was teaching the high jump, and learned a very important lesson that 46-year-old men probably don't need to be demonstrating the high jump anymore. And what had happened was the patellar tendon, or the big tendon that hooks your kneecap down to your lower leg bone, actually ruptured. But then the way that I landed on my leg as a result, it tore everything else that was involved with my knee. So from the retinaculum to the capsule around it, and the Carolina Panthers surgeon, a Dr. Connor, who got me in immediately, and this guy was unbelievable and really helped me to feel at ease. When he went in, he thought it was going to be an hour repair, and it was a 5-hour repair. So my wife thinks somehow I've died on the table. He comes in to tell her the news that, hey, we got everything back together, but it was some of the worst he's seen. And when a surgeon of that note takes so many photos during the surgery to show his other friends, you know, you did something wrong. And it's not about the story of the injury. The story today that we're going to tell is what happened after the injury.
Right. What happened in response to the injury? What happened to you mentally and physically? How do you recover from something where you're like the king of fitness and now you're unfit?
Yep.
Or you're
And not only that, but I like to consider myself, hey, maybe the king of independence, and now I am depending on so many other people. And it was an incredible process, from not only being bedridden, which is not my style, to then being having to learn to walk again, and then learn to run again and to move again. And hey, now we're talking 8 months later, I'm still in a process of recovery. But what I would say is, having been so involved in sales and having been involved in building businesses, that process – of whether you want to say failure or rejection to then getting back and getting back onto your feet, whether it's in your business or in your, you know, physical life, they're the same.
And self-belief.
Absolutely.
And you know, knowing that you have this injury and your mortality has kicked in, and now you have to do something that is personally humbling, and literally it's frustrating to a point where you want to scream and break a window.
Well, and that's the first stage. So whether you look at psychology texts, now that I've looked at afterwards and seen that I've gone through all these stages, the first one was denial. So the first stage,
this can't happen.
Yeah,
to me.
This I can't believe it. I needed this sale. This was it. My entire business was riding on this, and I blew it. It just couldn't have happened. I can't believe
the one
it.
I needed to make my quota.
The guy said
he was going to do it.
Yep, I didn't.
Now I can't even get him on the phone.
I didn't hit the big eagle. Hey, right. His credit card didn't go through. Now, yeah, the guy has disappeared. Well, it's the same as what happened with my knee. As I'm riding in the back of that ambulance to the hospital, I'm saying this just couldn't have happened. I can't believe it. And here's one that they don't talk about in the psychology texts. You know what I did in that stage when I was in this denial stage, Jeffrey? What I kept doing was playing this game, which is the worst game you can play, this what-if game. What if I didn't go that day? What if I didn't do that extra jump?
Yeah.
What if I didn't do this? As if somehow I could go back and
like
change
Superman.
It. And it's kind of interesting. I read this great quote by Lily Tomlin, who the more quotes I read by her, she seems like a pretty cool philosopher. And it goes something like, forgiveness is finally being okay that you're not trying to change your past anymore.
Oh, cool.
So do you see how it's almost like I had to forgive myself first?
Yeah.
That like, dude, okay, you messed up. It happened. I can't change the past, but if I keep thinking I can or playing this game,
you'll be bitter.
Yeah, you're bitter, and you're not definitely moving forward. So the first stage was there of denial. Then next stage, anger.
Yeah.
See, then I'm just angry, and you know who I was angry with?
Yourself.
Myself. Now I'm just angry at myself, and I can't believe that this has happened, and how could I do this to myself? What am I doing? I'm letting everyone down. And same deal. So now you come out of that sales meeting, and now you're pissed at either yourself, you blew it, or you're pissed at that other person. You're making excuses, and none of those are going to get you any better. But I think they are a process we got to go through, but making you aware of them today in the sales process, you can make those happen a lot faster.
Okay, so was there a point where you began to turn? Was there a—
Absolutely. So the next stage, what I would say is it started to go into whether you want to say ownership. So the first part, you're in this denial, you're in this pain,
you're in this pissed shame,
and you are angry. But then when that starts to go away and you start to realize that now you got to do something and there are ways to improve— and maybe there are some things to learn. Now you go into this stage of ownership. Hey, did you take ownership for why that sale didn't happen? You can't blame the other guy and it wasn't him. Hey, was your pitch as good? Did you have your stuff together like it should have been? Were you ready? Were you prepped? How were you dressed? What did you do?
Are you blaming other people or are you taking responsibility for what happened?
Absolutely.
That's the whole deal.
Yep.
And you have to look at— I often teach in sales lessons, when the customer says, I'm not interested, that means you're not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you blame the guy for not returning your call, that means that the voicemail you left them pretty much sucked.
Yeah.
Or they had no reason to do it. So let's look at it from a standpoint of, now you're trying to recover. You're taking responsibility for your recovery and realizing that whatever they told you at the hospital, it's taking twice as long.
And the thing, for all the listeners as well, I was an orthopedic therapist too. So I was an orthopedic physical therapist. And if I had a penny for every time someone would come in with a knee injury, maybe not as devastating as mine, but they would come in and I would say, hey, you're going to see, this is going to make you better. You're going to be stronger at the end of this process. I would have a mountain of copper for how many times I told someone that. Never having gone through the experience. So now, having gone through the experience and then someone trying to tell me that, man, it was falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
I was not at that point yet to now find the silver lining, if you will, in this horrible thing. I was still about poor me. But soon, as you're saying that I went to, now it's time to take responsibility and ownership, that's when I started to become open for what are the lessons? How can I be better here? And as soon as that stage happens, that's where the real process of recovery, or you could say in the sales world, of improvement starts to happen. Because if you're just pissed and you're angry and you're an angry, pissed salesman, you're probably not going to be a very successful
salesman.
Well,
the challenge there is when you recognize what you've done was a mistake, or you had an accident, or you lost a sale, or the guy didn't come through, you can't simply put the blame on somebody else. You, number one, have to take responsibility for it. And then what's the game plan?
Yeah.
What are you going to do that is not going to happen next time, number one? And I'm sure you walk down the steps a little bit more gracefully now and with a lot more gratitude from what happened. But
Everything is, yeah, and that's that other stage which you're already hinting at, which we'll get to because we still got to go through the ownership, but then it becomes appreciation.
Yeah.
Where now, 8 months later, I am saying, man, you know what? They were right. Like, I'm actually in this strange sense where I've had friends that have had cancer, all these other things, and they almost say, it's better that this happened to me because it revealed my true self, what I could become, and showed me what I could be, that I'm actually more as a result. I couldn't see it then, but I do see it now. But that ownership, like you're saying, and here would be the way to say it is, okay, what's the prescription or what's the plan? Or now what am I going to do to improve my skills? What can I learn from this rejection that now it makes sure that maybe I experience less of them in the future? And so, most people don't do that.
Here's the deal. You can't be angry when you lose a sale. You have to be resilient to a point where you say, okay, how did I accept this? How did I take this? How did I react to it? How did I respond to it? And then how did I recover from it? And the recovery part is actually the most powerful part. However, if your attitude's not right, if the way you take it in isn't the right way, you're never going to recover in a way that will make you better. You'll be bitter, not better.
Absolutely. And maybe you could even talk about, depending on, hey, what anybody thinks.
Oh, my
about.
Company can't perform. They're not shipping the right stuff. Our prices are too high. The warehouse people are stupid.
Economy's down.
Right.
This is our product's no good.
So just look at it from the perspective of you're injured when you lose a sale. And in selling, there's two things that can happen. Either you win or you go home. There's no middle ground. You didn't like kind of win. You either win or lose.
You get the sale, you don't get the sale.
Right. And the winner makes the money and the loser has to look for another prospect or quit or, you know, do something that says, hey, I didn't make this. Now, when you get a rejection, the way you take that rejection is going to determine your ability to take the next sale. Because it's likely that you will be rejected 2 out of 3 times. A 33% close ratio in sales is pretty damn good, actually.
You'll be a superstar.
Right. So let's look at the two where you do get rejected. What are the lessons? Are you saying, I didn't do well, the guy took a cheaper price, the guy had a better relationship with somebody else, my company couldn't back up what I was... No. I want you to find out what could you have done that might have given you that sale so that the next time you're in that situation, you actually think you can win. You actually put yourself in the position where, dude, I know why I lost the last one. I am not going to let that happen again. I can promise you this. Now, it's likely that Martin, at his advanced age, will not high jump again. That's a likely
There's
thing.
A quick lesson.
Huh?
That's a quick lesson I got right there.
However, you still have to go sell again. And you're going to sell again and again, and your boss is going to say, well, what happened? Well, how'd it go? What'd you do? Like, I want to be able to say to the boss, I want you to be able to say to the boss, even though I didn't make the sale, let me share with you what I learned.
Yep.
Not let me share with you who I'm going to blame.
And remember, you and I have talked about this. Other history on myself, I'm also a black belt in judo. And in the beginning, it's almost the same stages. When I began in judo and didn't know much about it, and I experienced failure, whether I got thrown or I got tripped or I lost, I would go the same thing, denial, anger, rage, making excuses. And the funniest part is now looking back, number one, I was in no position to have those feelings because I wasn't good enough to be able to have it. And I'll never forget the old 80-year-old sensei looking at me in shock because he can't, you know, he's just at such a different level of where he sees that there's your experience, there's your lesson. Those mats are a university. That sales office is a university.
And
for
the
you
other
to
guy's office
better.
Is a university, and your proposal is a university, yep. and your phone call to a university, and your follow-up is a university, and your ability to close a sale is a university, or build a relationship is a university, or get a referral is a university. You learn every single time, whether they say yes or say no.
And the lesson I got from that was, and this is one of my lines that I use with people a lot, is the black belt isn't the person that makes no mistakes. The black belt is the person that has made all of them. He just doesn't make them anymore, you know, or she just doesn't make them anymore. And that, hey, you want to be a black belt in sales? Then when you make that error, you're loose and it's like, what can I learn from it? And I'll tell you, I get it. It's easy for us to say it. That is the hardest thing to do. Like, oh, wow, I just lost this sale. Let me see what I can learn.
Right.
Exactly. I get it.
You're so pissed off.
Oh, yeah. Like the people listening right now are like, yeah, right. But that is where you make the improvement.
The bottom line is this 20-minute lesson will give you an understanding of what you have to do as a person in order to persevere. Persevere and perseverance are at the fulcrum point of your ability to have a long life of success in sales. How you react, respond, and recover from what happens to you is your destiny. It's your ability to learn from the mistake so that you don't make it again. You don't need to be a black belt in sales, but you need to be a purple belt in sales or a brown belt in sales and begin to build your black belt ability. You start out with white and you go to orange or something. I don't know what the next belt is.
Depends on the martial art, but
moving up. But the bottom line is you move up one belt at a time. You don't go from white to black.
Nope.
It doesn't happen that way. There's a lot of shades of gray in the middle. And your job as a salesperson is to maintain your belief system and your attitude system so you can get from one to the next and stop blaming anybody for anything. And you don't have to blame yourself. Just take responsibility for what happens to you and figure out a way to recover from what happens to you as a lifelong lesson. And Martin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I hate to admit it, but
we always get better whenever we go over.
Exactly. I hate to admit this to you, but you're a classic example of health and fitness. And every time I see your body, it pisses me off that I'm so freaking fat.
That's why I keep showing him, so I can finally continue to get him, this guy, in shape right here.
But I think the bottom line here is that if you go to trainingforwarriors.com, you will find all kinds of life lessons. Even on Instagram, you'll see things that you didn't know were possible. I am an avid reader. I'm a genuine follower. And I've been inspired by Martin Rooney. And I'm challenging you that you can do too. Please, please pay attention to what Martin has to say. It will help you forever.
Well, thank you very much. And maybe the final lesson that I have for everybody is today, Jeffrey said three words that were really important. It was respond, react, recover. Mm-hmm. And he was hinting at it, but I want to share it with you again. The only person that's up to is you, and it's free. You don't have to pay for any of those things. They're there waiting. That becomes your choice. So you want to get better in sales or not, you follow those three R's and you do it right, you're going to accelerate faster to that black belt status than a negative attitude or a blaming attitude, which neither of those will keep you in sales for long.
Okay, so there's a story.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And there's a recovery and there's a person. But when you listen to him, you can't help but be positive about listening, even though the story has a lot of pain to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to challenge.
Well, he was positive about it.
Oh, sure.
He framed everything.
No, he had no choice.
It's not what happened. It's my response to it.
Exactly.
You know, it's what happened after.
Exactly. And now he's on the mend and he's in a way better frame of mind. But when you're traveling and you're hurt, and you have to go someplace and you're limping and you're in pain when you get there.
Well, what about when you're told you have to learn how to walk again?
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things that he was able to overcome. But let's talk about you out there, the diehards. Let's talk about
diehards. It's your turn.
Exactly. I want you to get out a piece of paper and a pen if you have one, a pencil if you don't, or get out your laptop or your notebook or whatever.
I want you to write down three or four obstacles that you have had over the course of the last couple of years, and write down how you overcame them. How long did it take you to overcome it? What did you do to overcome it? And see if your thought patterns match Martin's. See if your thought patterns match ours. And try to give your – this is a real life lesson, because you get pissed off about the littlest things. Two traffic lights, or somebody has a flat tire on the highway and it causes a backup.
Yeah, but you don't start pissed off about those stuff. That stuff. What I find is, like, especially growing up where I did, where most people are pissed off.
Right.
Okay. It's like something little pisses you off, and you keep adding to your bucket of being pissed off. And eventually the bucket starts overflowing because you're not taking away from it. Whereas if you figure out a way to take something out of the pissed off bucket, okay, you can keep going down. And then those things, those little things don't mean anything.
Well, what I'm asking you to do is study why you were angry, or why you were disappointed, or why you felt mortal because of an injury, and then what did you do about it? Mm-hmm. What got you out of it? Because if you begin to see your own resolution, if you begin to see your own circumstances, then you'll be able to better prescribe for yourself how to win.
And maybe you haven't gotten out of it yet, and that's okay. Write down what you can do to get out of it, what you can do to recover.
I sort of relate this to someone who's been through a really long sales process, and I'm sure this has happened to both of you, where you spend weeks and months prepping to make a sale, and then at the very end, it gets taken from you. And a lot like Martin, I assume that there are a lot of salespeople that have to learn how to sell again. Like, they have to learn how to get, like, they've been through this huge thing, and at the end they get it all taken away from them, and it's a difficult thing.
I was working on a sale that reminds me of a story, Doug. I was working on a sale in New Jersey that the sale would have been six times my quota. Okay, this one sale.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So this was like, wow, this is an amazing opportunity. I'm going to win this. 6 months I'm working with them. And every few days the contact is calling me. He was a total advocate. And in my heart, I knew we were going to win. Okay. There was no question. I start bringing in people who were higher level than I was, because they, you know, they wanted to deal with them too. I'm bringing in everyone. They're bringing in everyone. We're meeting more frequently. It is going great. And then all of the sudden, something comes out in their local newspaper bad about the company I was working for.
Ugh.
That wasn't even true. Okay. And it kills the sale to the point where they won't even respond. 6 months, talking almost every day, texting, and then silence, crickets. I have now spent so much time on this because, oh my God, I mean, six times my annual quota.
So here's the question. That next morning, yeah, when you walk into the office, what was it like and what did you do?
And did it rhyme with duck?
Well, that may have been the first word I screamed, and it wasn't duck. You're a few letters off. But, you know, I had to put it in perspective, and I had to take a step back. And it was like mourning the loss of something, because I knew, like, he's not responding. He thinks this story is true. We have to get to him. We have to figure it out. And we never got the deal. And they did figure out the story wasn't true, but it was too late. And so I was sad. Just like Martin went through those emotions, I was sad, I was angry.
And you have to, I think, a lot of people would tell you that you have to allow yourself to feel those emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But also with that thought in the back of your mind, like, I'm going to feel this, and then I'm going to then take the steps necessary to move on.
The words are, get it out of your system and purge it, or, you know, have that period of time where you're mourning or you're grieving, and then stand up. It's time to stand up. And some people take grief to a whole other level. And while I respect it, it's just not me. And, you know, you're allowed to grieve. You're allowed to feel bad. You're allowed to be pissed off. You're allowed to be angry. But don't go to a movie to try to feel better. Read a book to try to feel better.
So here's the thing in that
story. And you'd
story,
be amazed how many people say, oh, I'm going to go to a movie. Like, really?
Well, you just, yeah. I don't know. I fall asleep in movies. But so it's like an expensive nap. But I had two options. Okay, I could have mourned the loss of that sale for months. I could have been pissed off about it. I could have made every reason why I wasn't going to make quota that year. We worked on this sale. I could have had every excuse.
Yep.
And instead, I said, I still want to make quota. Yep. And I'm going to make quota.
Oh, hey, there are sales out there.
And there are other sales out there. And here's how I'm going to do it. And I reset my plan and just started doubling down and working double as hard.
But here's the deal. I guarantee you that during the course of that sale, you already had the commission spent.
Oh.
You were already flying to Aruba.
Paris, come on.
You had the whole deal under control. And what happened, and this is just my opinion, the groundwork with the CEO was not laid properly. The CEO trumps everybody and everything. And for me, if I'm not dealing with a CEO, I don't feel like I have any kind of sale because he or she can step in at any moment and say, oh, I don't really like that guy. Next.
Yeah, it was a public entity with no CEO. But
they all have CEOs.
But someone who would say that, you know,
yeah,
without
there's a superintendent of schools
or
something.
Exactly.
So that's the person. If you have to get next to the person who pulls the trigger, if you don't, you have a chance of losing at any moment in time.
Well, yeah, their fear took over, which means we didn't present enough value and enough, you know, reward over what they saw as the potential risk. But anyway, so I doubled down, and that's the thing. Like, I fueled that energy in a different direction, and that's what you need to do in these situations. Is you have all this energy burning inside of you, and you need to fuel it in the right direction.
I agree. And in order to do that, you better become a warrior.
That is right. What's a warrior, Jeffrey? A sales warrior. Talk
to us about
that. A
warrior is someone that doesn't take no for an answer and wants to leave as soon as he hears yes. Because if you start talking about it after you hear yes, the only thing you do is buy it back. But a sales warrior is somebody who knows how to present with passion, how to overcome objections, how to, and in my opinion, have the right attitude to be able to make anything happen, how to close a sale, and how to understand what value is. If you are an expert at that, then you are a warrior. If you may not be the total expert, then you might want to get our Sales Warrior Kit. Okay, so how do I get this Sales Warrior program?
GiveGittimer.com, because when you go to GiveGittimer.com, you are giving yourself a gift of warriorness.
Warriorness?
Warriorness. It's a new word. I made it up.
I don't have enough warriorness. Very good. Okay.
I got it.
That was good enough to get a ding. What I'd like you to do, though, is say something that's good enough to get applause.
Do you have the applause cued?
I do, if you think you've got what it
all
takes.
Right, it'll come. It'll come. Right. Don't worry.
I'm going to tell you this. Each of you has an obligation, not to your sales company, not to your sales manager. You have two obligations, three actually, to your customer, to yourself, and to your family. That's why you become a sales warrior. Because no matter where you are, if you get fired or you decide to quit, that doesn't mean you lose your warrior status. If you're a warrior, you're a warrior, and somebody's going to pick you up and go, love that guy, love that woman, she's a warrior. And that will get you a better job or a different job or the job that you're hoping for. So listen, go out and invest in yourself and do it right now. Go to GiveGittimer.com and buy a Sales Warrior Kit. It's inexpensive and it will change the way you sell forever.
It's the best investment you can make in yourself. And this is not for your job. I mean,
right, it's for you.
This is for you forever.
And that's it. So I didn't get applause, but I deserved it.
I'll be the judge of that.
So, we're drinking Death Wish coffee. We're having a good time. This is Sell or Die.
Death Wish coffee is coming in really cool new packages now. They're boxes with a silver lining. We'll have to have that on Motivation Monday later.
And the pods are amazing. If you have a Keurig and you don't have Death Wish,
you're really missing out.
You're drinking crappy coffee.
You're missing out. Go to deathwish.com and get your
subscription.
Bag of the world's
best. If there's a comment in there,
coffee.
Tell them to sell or die.
Deathwishcoffee.com. Deathwishcoffee.com.
We're having people now text it, and it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. All right. Hey, guys, diehards, thank you for joining us today. If you don't have your mug yet, go to buygetamer.com and get your Sell or Die Hard mug.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm telling you, get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.